replacement of NPR's receivers with redundant computers delivering both live streaming and audio storage. 2009, master control was consistently reaching 85 degrees, necessitating the installation of a localized ductless cooling system contained within the room. This brought the room back down to 72 degrees. 2012, basically most gear in that room now contains a microprocessor. While the localized cooling is still able to maintain 72 degrees, in the event of a power failure, our 20,000 kilowatt generator, did I translate that correctly, is not able to power either cooling systems, causing the room to rise above 95 degrees. This means all servers and computers in the room will dramatically slow down or shut off. KPFA is at the stage where we need a dedicated server room designed from scratch, including adequate generator power. Costs, $150,000, 75-kilowatt, three-phase generator, $60,000, technical area, uninterruptible power supply, gyro system, 75 kilowatts, $75,000, localized cooling, Mitsubishi or Fujitsu ductless systems. Holy cow. I don't care. KPFA control rooms have not been substantially updated since 1991. Room dimensions and control room furniture was custom built to accommodate the Audiotronics analog console, reel-to-reel recorders, turntables, CD players, cassette machines, and DAT recorders. We are still able to maintain 72 degrees in the on-air room due to remote placement of many computers. However, during a power failure, room doors have to be left open to allow the three computers in there to operate. We cannot accommodate multiple computer monitors in the rooms due to furniture design. Most broadcasters today rely on computer-originated audio. Each room will have to be designed from scratch to be able to transition to the digital era. With online, one production, one news, and one KPFB control, there is no space in the existing building to operate an alternative on-air control room and still be able to produce things off-air. Costs, approximately $1 million for four rooms complete. $250,000 per room. This is based on 2008 prices for building youth radio facilities where a large open space was subdivided and built out. No exterior soundproofing was needed, only treatment to optimize acoustics. Add an extra $100,000 per room should exterior soundproofing be needed. Total cost for a modernized radio station, $1.685 million. Off-air promotion, Indiegogo campaign. We stuck our toe into crowdsourcing world of fundraising. Our goal was $100,000, and we raised $10,000, which was just about what we expected. To be successful in that room, you have to have a wide network of Facebook and Twitter users. We learned a lot with our first experiment. First, how to improve our Facebook and Twitter posts and use them effectively to promote the video and our goal. We discovered that many of our on-air folks don't have either Facebook or Twitter accounts, and unfortunately, a lot of our listener base doesn't either. That information solidified our intent to follow the path to begin to engage new and younger listeners. The internet is where they play and where we must be involved. We will be stepping back into that arena again, and the next time we'll do better, learn more, and continue to expand our new listenership and our messages. I'm going to let Barbara deal with the summary chart.
All right, this chart was made up based on discussions that were started the minute the money hit the office. And they have, in fact, spent some and committed some. I should first tell you that the bank balance right now is, in our account, $650,000. We have $49,000 in accounts payable that will be needed soon. That's not reflected on here. It's our regular payroll and medical benefits. Okay, this first left-hand column, you'll see at the top has the 958,000 which we received, and the senior staff feels very strongly about us needing to have, at the very least, $350,000 in reserves. That's 2 months' worth of salary and health benefits. If we were to have had a more ideal amount to put in reserves, it would be $900,000, which would be 3 months' worth of all kinds of expenses. But they are leaving it at this point. As we go down that column, we've paid central services ahead, I think. The national office now has KPFA's contribution for central services to operate on something a little more secure than they've had recently. And then there has been much talk over the air about trying to shorten on-air fund drives. So there is, the next item is eliminating 5 days that had been planned in the spring drive. In other words, it would have been 5 days longer than it is going to be. And that means that we're using 96,400 out of the bequest for regular expenses, which would be, I'm sorry, people are talking. Are you not wanting to listen to this? We are using 96,400 out of the bequest for regular expenses, then, in other words, to keep a promise to listeners that we were trying to cut down on the on-air fund drives. And we also eliminated the birthday fund drive, $38,070. So that's another sum that is being used out of this bequest money. Then we have payments of central services that go to the Pacifica Radio Archives. That's the next figure there. We were requested, or I don't know if you'd say ordered,
no,
to
not ordered,
requested to loan WBAI. In the narrative, it talks 19,000, but that's this figure, 18,976, to cover payroll. And the safety feature of replacing some carpeting has begun, and the first half payment is in the first column here, 9,000. In the second column is the other half. It's going to be 18,000 for not every single place in the building where we could replace the carpeting, but the places that are the most urgent and are more safety related. And we've also had to have recently work done on not the elevator itself, but the water that was collecting at the bottom of the elevator pit. And the $6,250 it covers that. So those are the amounts that have been either spent or committed out of the bequest money. The next column, we're looking at the bank balance of $650, I said was probably the biggest we've had in a long time. So the $350,000 that the management wants to put in another account, we're finding a good place to put it, to keep it separate. It's still in our bank account, but we need to count it as committed to this idea of establishing a minimal reserve. We've also been asked to support KPFT in Houston. They have had some time transmitter weakness and problems. And $100,000 is going to be given to the, it's a loan, and it's going to the national office, who will then distribute it to KPFT and be responsible for the payments that will be made back on that. And then the next item in that middle column, as I said, is the other half of the payment for the carpeting. Now, if you look at the very bottom totals here, if we add up everything that was in the first column, that comes to $752,000, and we end up with $205,908 left over. In the middle column, we're adding up the things that need to be taken out of our immediate bank balance, which comes to $459,000. That leaves us $191,000 if you're just taking those expenses from the bank balance. However, we have ongoing expenses. And then the remaining, the third column, is the remaining large expenses that we need, and the management feels we should be using some of the bequest money to cover, and that is to repair the elevator. And as you heard in the narrative, it's about lived its life. There is a pressing need for better software to handle all the membership records. This is a kind of huge job. And so the figure there is $30,000. The $75,000 is for the fixing the elevator, $30,000 for the membership software, and then painting the outside of the building is a maintenance thing. The inside. They've discussed both inside and outside, but the only figure that's in here right now is $20,000 for the inside. This leaves about $66,000 left of the bequest money that is not committed by the projects noted on this sheet.
Janet.
Can you hear me?
Or yeah.
This right? I have a motion. I move that the KPFA LSB be provided with a revised budget that includes the GM's proposed and actual unbudgeted spending of the two bequests totaling $958,000 at the July LSB meeting, so that the board can reconsider the 2015 budget and consider other proposals for budgeting that money and approve the updated budget.
I have a question here as part of, first of all, there's, don't we do the 2016 budget at the July meeting, so that to revise the 2015 budget in July when it's over, I think we're talking about something else here. That's a point, yeah.
Well, yes and no. I mean, this the 2015 budget was approved late, first of all, very late. Will we have the 2016 budget ready for approval in July? But regardless, the 2015 budget needs to be revised and approved by this body, because this is part of our duties and responsibilities as a local station board.
Brian.
Well, I'm curious what you want beyond what's already on the list here. I mean, it seems like he's given a pretty detailed blow-by-blow of where he wants to spend the money.
May I answer?
Yeah, this is on the discussion of your motion.
For example, there was a motion at the last meeting made by Andrea Pritchett for other uses of the bequests. So that what the GM proposes, not the whole, you know, it shouldn't be the only thing that this body considers.
But you wanted him to bring his budget. This is his budget. It's already in front of you. I mean, other board members may have proposals, but you're not asking him to write up other people's proposals, are you?
No.
Okay. So what else
I'm
do you want him to produce?
I'm asking this body to consider other proposals, not just his.
Well, so, I mean, I think the way you worded what you were putting on the table was doesn't work out unless you still want to do it, and it can be either voted up or down. But it's, you know, it's the actual, I mean, whether or not we're talking about the 2015 budget, which will have terminated, actually, technically, then, or whether we're talking about, you know, the spending of the money that's discussed in item 15 or in item 13B on the agenda here. You know, Frank. Andrea was first. Andrea's first. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I think that what we're saying is I think that people just want to be able to have feedback and some input and our own thoughts considered about where to spend this money. It looks like he's already have his plan. And I believe that the local station board is supposed to give like some sort of approval or at least some feedback on where we would like it to go. Because I remember we discussed a lot of issues what we would like to spend money on if we had it. And there was like advertising campaign, development directors starting off, something like that, you know. But I think we want some input and some consideration of alternative ideas before it's gone, before the money's spent. Regardless, I feel whether it's 2015 or 2016, before it's out the door, I think we want some feedback and some suggestions where we think it might be, I wouldn't say better spent, but, you know, spent in an alternative manner.
I see you. Andrea.
Yeah, I'm gonna echo Frank's sentiment. It's our job to do the budget, and to have almost $1 million come in here without any input from the LSP, you know, is sort of shocking that we wouldn't have a conversation, that we wouldn't create some priorities for how that money is spent, especially considering that every year for the last 5 years, we have said that we wanted a development director. We also, this body approved motions to add a full-time position to the apprenticeship program. And when I look at the need for younger listeners and the need to revise and reinvent, it really feels like money would be well spent to fulfill to live into our vote.
I think you're going into
that.
The substance of the discussion, and what we're doing is trying to figure out where we're going to have it.
I want to emphasize
yeah.
the authority of this body to go ahead and provide some guidance on how that money is spent. And I would urge, let's go ahead and have a June meeting if that's what it requires. I don't know why this money is burning a hole in anybody's pocket. I think we actually should take some time to spend it as wisely as we can. And frankly, it's alarming to me that these numbers don't even add up. Frankly, if you take the bequests and you go to the $205,000 and you continue to deduct the proposals, the bequests money is overspent. You subtract $100,000 for the KPFT loan, subtract another $9,000 for the carpets, another elevator 75, new membership software 30, and painting inside. That's a negative $234,000 that we're supposed to take out of the $205,000.
Point of order.
Excuse me.
Okay, wait a second. Okay.
Please correct me if my perception is wrong, but they look like deductions from that same amount of money.
Okay.
But regardless, this body has authority and should be able to make those decisions.
Just to make, I know this isn't a regular accounting form, but the middle column starts with the $650, $1,000 that we have in the bank. It is, Andrea, but... what you need, that's the way the business manager interpreted, the way it's being looked at now.
Point of order.
Wait a minute. What is your point of order?
That we already have on the agenda in 13B allocation of 2015 budget surplus. Wouldn't this... discussion come under that? And
well, that's what I asked Janet. Doesn't that come under that?
Yes, but...
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so are we cool? And is that cool with you? We're going to continue this discussion on the stack is Jack and Margie. But I think we're going to put this substantive discussion in place instead of having a discussion about the motion to do something, but to discuss it down there.
I would like to clarify something. If I may.
Okay.
As I understand it procedurally, this report from the general manager is not an announcement of a done deal, but is the report of the general manager as to what he thinks the urgent issues are. My understanding is that the general manager does not have the authority to spend that money in that way unless the board okays that. I may be mistaken about that, but that's kind of what I think. Therefore, the appropriate proposal is to discuss the report of the general manager in the context of how to deal with the surplus. The appropriate response is simply that, not to advocate for other uses of it, but simply to say that we're going to discuss it. I find that the time of the board is wasted by self-serving diatribes about an issue that is not on the agenda. We have a procedure, and we should follow that procedure and not proceed in some kind of way in which each and every procedural item becomes the opportunity for somebody to just go off agenda, especially if you come in late for the meeting.
Oh, come on. Okay. Margie. Okay. Can I? Oh, go ahead, Janet.
Thank you. So, first, the general manager has already spent some of the money without the board's approval. Second, what I would propose is the motion I just made.
Order. Go ahead, Janet.
The motion I just made can be moved to that item 13B, allocation of 2015
Great.
Budget surplus.
Perfect. All right, so that's done. We're moving it. Any other discussions of the manager's report? Is this another discussion of the...
I seen that we're scheduled to leave at 2:45, but I would just like to say that if at 2:45 comes and we haven't had this discussion, if we have the place till 4 or whatever our time is, that we should not.
Why don't you raise it when we get to 2:45, see where we are and how it's going? How's that?
Fine.
Okay. Thank you. And we can stay till 4. Okay. So that we're clear with the building. Okie dokie. Huh. Any other discussions? Okay. Use the microphone.
When these loans are made to other stations, do we know, can we know, I don't happen to know, what are the terms of the loans?
I do not know the answer to that. Margie, if you're going to answer that, you have to use the microphone. And
there is a loan document, and I will ask the national office to share it with the board. Okay, it hasn't been finalized yet, okay? But there is a loan document.
And just for the record, over the last several years, previously, there were all kinds of money taken of our money by Summer Reese and sent to WBAI all the time without, you know. Anyway, okay. And now, any other discussion on, you go ahead.
Just on that point, I wanted to clarify, is this being structured as an advance to the national office?
Yes.
Okay. So, and this is not how loans have been done before, but this will go on KPFA's books as prepayments of our dues to the national office, and then they'll loan the money to KPFT. And the reason that's a good thing is because in the future, we can just take a little bit off what we would normally pay them. We can deduct from what we would normally pay them, whereas KPFA has no mechanism to collect from one of its sister stations.
It's not an interest-bearing loan.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you speak, you must use the microphone. Okay. Any other comments on the general manager's report? Frank.
Thank you. It's a shame, again, that Quincy hasn't appeared to get feedback on general manager's report or other issues going on at KPFA. I don't know if some people have followed what occurred with the May Day video broadcasting attempt, and what was happened was an email went out almost 3 weeks in advance to ask for some approval to do a May Day video streaming broadcast with no response from the management or the program director. So we sent follow-up emails that needed follow-up emails to get a response. And finally, the general manager and the program director at first refused to give us access to do a live video stream of the port closure and actually held out until the night before the event, 7:30 p.m., which left us struggling to get the word out to a bigger, broader audience, the link sent out to people around the world, around the nation that will share a video stream, which could be a tremendous benefit to KPFA financially in the future when we learn how to apply properly and make money from it. But with the March for Climate Leadership that happened in the past, there was a big hubbub about, we asked for a proper procedure to ask for a video broadcast. I was just waiting. We asked for documentation, how to file a request for a video broadcast. But it seems that the general manager and the program director have kept a grip on it now. We can't broadcast without their permission, but with still no proper procedure in place to request a video broadcast. I'd say I wasted at least 6 to 8 hours emailing, requesting, basically arguing my point to do this broadcast, which would have been time I'd spent producing the broadcast and getting things more prepared. And the end, not even knowing that I was going to be able to do it till 7:30 the night before I got the okay, when we've been planning for 3 weeks and no response. It took a battle. It took emails, questions, back and forth. Finally, you know, when someone asked where Q's voice was in all this, you know, he responded finally that he was at Wesley's memorial, that he got late to the conversation. But really, he was almost 3 weeks late, not responding to the initial emails. And that was kind of an excuse to come late. And in that final email, what he did was he really belittled our attempts to have off-air fundraising and belittled our attempts to bring live breaking news in real time to KPFA listeners and followers. I didn't even ask for a live terrestrial broadcast after the last beatdown that I got trying to do that. So I asked for an alternative source, which is the video stream, which that was intended to be an alternative source that wouldn't interfere with regular broadcasting. Yet there was still this huge battle and denial of approval. So we have asked, like I said, in the past for a procedure. We haven't got that. We got belittled in another email, and basically, like one of the quotes was, the only streaming he cares about is the stream flowing under the station. Okay, how does that feel to us that are working hard as video streaming producers? Another claim of his.
You have 30 seconds.
I didn't know we timed general manager's report stuff. Could I get any additional time?
No one made the motion today.
So anyways, I can continue. Another thing that he said in his email.
We have a standing position that 3 minutes is what we're doing. And actually, you've gone 3 minutes, but I didn't start timing you until you were deeply into it. And I'm giving you from the time I started timing until 3 minutes.
Okay, I asked for an additional 1 minute to wrap up. All right, thank you.
Okay.
So another thing that he said in his email was that were have magical thinking that this could save KPFA. When actually our emails that we've been corresponding with Quincy are about augmenting off-air fundraising. They've been quoted as saying that we're not C-SPAN, that no one will watch this. But yet you sell tickets to a Bob Baldock talk, hundreds of people will come and watch. We could video stream that and ask for a donation to buy the link for people around the nation that listen online or around the world that can't attend the event in Berkeley. There's so many ways to utilize this to make funds. But, I mean, we're being stonewalled and even now getting permission to have to broadcast.
15 seconds.
So what I would ask, if I can come back and speak twice, I will. But I would ask that these procedures be put in place, a document be made that I could request a video broadcast. You know, we've had three great ones I can mention before
time.
I get off would be Creech Air Force Base, the March for Climate Leadership, the Gilman Collective,
time.
And the Mayday broadcast, or just to name a few in the last 6 months.
Mal.
I mean, I think that was an interesting summary of points that Frank made. But as I understand it, the role of the LSB is not to do programming or to tell the station manager what he should and shouldn't do vis-a-vis programming, unless there is a motion to disapprove the station manager. I think we have no role in this process at all. We don't program. That's the job of the professionals that we hire, and I think that's the way it should be.
Margie.
I'm starting right at a motion. I move that the LSB requests that KPFA management prepare a written procedure for all kinds of. I mean, I can think of many different kinds of things, but I don't know what exists. So what should I say? Like a written procedure. Anybody got some words? That there be a procedure, a written procedure for applying for access to the streaming. That's my motion. Do I have a second?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. I saw Janet, Andrea, and Frank. And
well,
Brian is doing the timing.
I agree with this motion. However, I would like to amend it to somehow include, because it could be, the procedures could be time-consuming, and by the time the whole process is completed, it'll be too late. There are times when there's something happening right away, or that there needs to be some expedited procedure included in the motion or in the procedures. So.
Andrea?
So I amend, I move to amend the motion to include expedited procedures for special circumstances.
Okay, now we're starting a new list because we've got an amendment. Yes, Brian.
Can we nail down the language of the motion and the amendment before we start?
Hold on, let me read the motion. Move that the LSB requests that KPFA management prepare a written procedure for requests for special programming.
Okay. And Janet?
That's my motion.
To include expedited procedures for unusual circumstances.
And has that been seconded?
I second that. But there's a third amendment I would like to make, or a second amendment.
We can have two amendments.
Go ahead.
One big issue that we're going to find with this, and that I'm having...
What's your amendment?
We're having an issue with now is that the approval, who gets to say yes or no. So I think we need something in the language that who gets to decide. Because right now, the program director said no to the broadcast, which was a major historic event where the port was being shut down due to police violence. So as they become the gatekeepers, basically, to be able to say yes or no.
Wait a minute. You're making a substantive
argument.
So
what we're trying
You're
to say is that
an amendment.
We need to come up with the language. I'm asking for help here to come up with the language that says something that we also provide a criteria for evaluating these requests and not have one person be able to say yes or no.
You have to give us some actual language, right, Frank, for an amendment. Jack, and then Andrea.
I'll work on that right now.
And then Margie, and then let's have lots more amendments.
Okay, am I on? Yeah. Okay. I see a legitimate issue in the question of how management in the station deals with requests for special programming. That is absolutely legit, and certainly in the past, management has taken upon itself the initiative to cancel or postpone programming in favor of covering special events. What I do not see as initially appropriate to that discussion is a set of procedural guidelines. What I think is appropriate for beginning and engaging that discussion is, in fact, a discussion airing different points of view within the management and staff of the station as to what kinds of events and special programming in general are appropriate for the station to deal with, so that rather than argue something out in relation to this, that, or the other event, we'd like to have, or I'd like to have, some general consensus thinking, or if not consensus, then defined points of view as to what kinds of issues, what kinds of circumstances should drive this programming. And I find a motion calling for procedures to be contrary to what I think is a more productive path towards dealing with these issues.
I'm not really functioning here as chair, I don't think. I think what we have here, I want to remind people where we are here. We have a motion. We have an amendment to the motion. We have a discussion about what's appropriate to discuss when we're talking about the amendments to the motions and where the substance goes and how the procedure. And quite frankly, whatever. Margie is next, and then okay. Andrea, and
well,
then Frank.
Okay.
I mean, I'm really quiet.
Order, Brian.
Order. Good. Thank you.
Does anyone object to Janet's amendment?
No. Okay.
So then can we limit our discussion to the motion as amended?
Right.
And not lose ourselves in the procedure?
Okay. And let me just thank you. And
sorry.
This isn't a test of my sanity. Here. Wait a minute, okay?
No, that's what I was going to say. It's fine.
Okay. And I am hoping, you know, this isn't structurally correct or some procedurally correct, but I am hoping that you guys understand that something that says that the manager doesn't have any authority as an amendment to this is going to be a problem.
Okay? All right.
But, okay.
Frank says.
Andrea and Frank. And you can, either one of you can speak and then the other can speak. I don't care. You choose the order.
Thank you. So we actually do have some wording. And it's a, I hate when it happens. The general manager and or the program director will provide criteria for evaluating these requests so that it can be widely discussed and include input from the CAB. And I think what the spirit of this amendment is that, again, we're trying to build that community and build that sense of relationship and connection and ownership of these live streaming opportunities and so forth. But I think we could really preempt a lot of the discord and misunderstandings if the criteria was clear.
Okay, so you're motivating your motion.
I am.
And I need it in writing.
I have it. I'll give it to you in a second. I think that we had another incident this week related to there's been an allegation that a programmer was censored and that a guest who was supposed to appear on that show was not allowed. And for a free speech radio station, that's a very troubling issue. And again, we entrust a program director to make some decisions. But I think it's also reasonable to ask that program director to communicate to us the basis for making these kinds of decisions about what gets to go on the airwaves and what doesn't. And by clearly communicating the criteria, then we can better interact with the radio station, you know, broadly. So I'd like to really encourage the management not to see this as an adversarial sort of situation, but an invitation to a broader conversation that has the potential to be very invigorating and inclusive.
And then I would add to that. She said
he's been called on.
So another thing I would say, that this station doesn't belong to the general manager. This station doesn't belong to the program director. There are hundreds of listeners and supporters who pay for the station. And for them to decide exactly what demonstrations or what gets to be on the alternative source, which is what it's there for, is what we described in the initial stages, that would be there for us to use as an alternative content provider to the KPFA listeners. And to have these public events, especially these historic events, the March for Climate Leadership, the port shutdown for police brutality, even be really contested and to be threatened to not happen and to not get support from station management and to really be more contentious about it. So I think that the listeners, we always ask for support from the listeners, and we use that word support. Whenever I bring up the word support for any sort of movement, for any sort of march, for any sort of thing happening in the community, everybody cringes and you could like feel their body tighten up, okay? We need to really figure out, can we have a legal limit of support for certain things and certain issues? Here's our legal limit way up here. KPFA and what we do is way down here. And there's no discussion of how we could elevate what we do to make movements, to make marches, to make anything that has to do with public service or public helping these issues be more heard, to be more attended by public, We're not doing what I think we could do. We could be way up higher and get on the edge of our legal limit. Do what we're supposed to be doing. Be a free speech bastion, a supporter of community events, a supporter of stuff. We're being held back and limited to what we could actually do to really make a change in the politics, to make a change in the world, to make a change in what KPFA really stands for in their mission statement, to actually provide understanding between people and nations, between people on basic issues. You know, it's a fracking issue. I was told we couldn't be a media sponsor because there was a fracking legislation. And we couldn't be a media sponsor of a major climate rally. And we couldn't do the May Day port closure. Why was this contested? So I feel, getting back to my amendment, that I hope you all include public input, especially from the CAB, who's been doing a lot of work in the public, outreach meetings, gathered hundreds and thousands of thoughts of people, the public. That
30 seconds.
I'm watching the clock. And
no, not a different clock. He started quite a bit after you started talking.
He's on 26 now. So I would just encourage us all to let this friendly amendment be put on. Let community input be made into these decisions, not let it be controlled by the general manager or the program director alone.
Okay, I've got Brian, I've got Mal, I've got Margie.
And you've got feedback.
And I've got feedback.
I feel pretty strongly that if we're going to have managers at all, then we have to let them manage. They have to be able to make decisions. And if we don't like the decisions they make, if they make bad calls, our recourse is to replace them, not to do their jobs for them. I kept quiet while you were speaking. I also think that trying to give the CAB a role in choosing what special broadcasts or streams get approved is an incredible distortion of the purpose of that entity, which is supposed to be separate from station operations. Frankly, I think it's venue shopping. It's people trying to move a decision to a place where they think they have more political support, and I think that is the wrong way to set up decision-making structures. And I have to say, you know, the reason the board isn't supposed to program the station is, I think, exactly what we're seeing here. I mean, I love you, Frank, but meeting after meeting, you're coming back and using your position as a board member where you're supposed to speak to the good of the entire station to bring your personal requests for broadcast and airtime or for more salary during our budgeting. I mean, you got to step back a little bit and ask what's good for KPFA and look at the station as a whole.
For one thing, I've never pushed for salary for myself. It's for a position for the apprenticeship program, which has been... I'm ready to move on, man. I've been holding on to this position because there's a hiring freeze, and if I'm gone, who's going to replace me for an 8-hour, which just got 4 hours a week? You know, I provide 20 hours a week of work there, and I'm ready to move on. I want a position there so when I go, someone can come in. And these personal agenda items, you call the March for Climate Leadership my personal agenda? You called the port closure for police brutality my personal agenda? You're going to call the Creech Air Force Base demonstration my personal agenda? I went there as a media person to bring that to KPFA, to bring that to the hundreds of people, the thousands of people that donate to KPFA. I never asked for money to be to go to Vegas to spend 3 days freezing my ass off in the desert to film this stuff and bring it to the KPFA listeners. I never asked for a penny to go to the May Day port closure to spend my whole day there in March and report on the same time, you know, be there. I never asked for a dollar to do any of those. These are issues that are obviously important to the public because there's thousands of people attending them. And to have to fight KPFA to be there to do a broadcast is wasting my time. And I'm trying to do a broadcast free of charge, and I'm having to send 5-6 hours of emails to argue to say, hey, can I even do this? Are you going to let me put this on the alternative source? Come on, these aren't my personal agenda items. These are issues that are important to the KPFA community, the March for Climate Leadership, drones, okay, the May Day port police brutality shutdown. These are just some of the few we've done. The Gilman fundraiser, it was an off-air fundraiser. I got a little support for that, maybe because it raised funds or something, but these are not my personal agenda items. These are issues that I'm here to bring as a local station board representative, even a staff representative, so be it, because I feel that these issues, if we support whatever word you want to choose, if we cover, which is the word of the day over there, if we cover these issues more thoroughly, people will be more inclined to support KPFA because we're covering issues that are important to them. And that is a fundraising ability. The LSB is supposed to be fundraising. That's kind of how I do my part. I go to things I feel are important to the KPFA community, provide content free of charge, and hope people will donate because we're doing something they care about. So that is what my agenda is. Thank you.
Mel, Margie, Kate.
Well, Frank's speech...
And Andrea.
Frank's speech sounds lovely, but it's not the function of this board. I wish Frank would read the bylaws and see what the board functions are. Nowhere does it give us the power to run programming. That isn't our job, and all those items are in fact your agenda, Frank, because you think that they are important to some KPFA listeners. Well, they may be, but it isn't your job to decide what goes on the air, and it isn't our job to decide what goes on the air. As Brian said, we've got managers, and we ought to let them manage the damn station. If you don't like what they're doing, bring a motion to replace them. But and we can recommend on that. But from my standpoint, the managers are doing a pretty good job managing the station, and it's not up to the LSB or any member of the LSB to second guess them. I mean, they either are doing a good job or they're not, but it's not up to us to have these nice discussions about what is good and what is bad, unless you're doing it in the context of replacing management. That's a different story, and I haven't heard any suggestion that's appropriate.
I have Margie, Kate, Andrea, Ramses, Jana.
I call the question. I call the question.
And that is on the amendment that Andrea and Frank.
Right.
Okay, so we have to have a vote on whether or not to call the question. Pardon me? Okay.
I move to close debate after those who are on the list have spoken.
All right.
I change my mind.
All right, and I will, so that's the motion, and I will tell you who's on the stack. Margie, Kate, Andrea, Ramses, Janet. Oh, okay, right. Okay, Kate, Andrea, Ramses, Janet is the stack. All in favor, is there a second to that motion? All in favor of that, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, that's what we're going to do. Kate, please use the microphone. Janet or David, yeah, thank you.
Well, I'm just prompted to speak in response to what Brian said, and you know, Brian, I have to tell you, like 5 days of the week that I hear your show, I kick myself that I don't email you to tell you how wonderful it was. I love your show, and I appreciate it, and I learn from it so much. But I'm sitting here as a board member. I hear us always talking about, what is our job? What is our job? I've been in and out of this board for what feels like a long time now. I don't know that I've ever done anything that remotely resembles a job. I don't know. But when I hear Frank, who does do radio also, come up with ideas, it just seems invaluable to me because I don't know how to make the radio station better. It's good for me. I love it. But I realize that we're hanging on by a thread. We have tons of financial issues. We always have had. I mean, what Mal just said about let's let them manage, I think managers here should be welcoming every good, constructive, creative idea. I don't understand the impulse to put down or impede somebody like Frank, who's so willing and able. I don't know how to do better radio, but I feel that he does. And so I speak kind of to that spirit.
Andrea.
I'd just like to read from the bylaws for a second, just to clarify. Under the duties and responsibilities of the local station board is to work with station management to ensure that station programming fulfills the purposes of the foundation and is responsive to the diverse needs of the listeners, demographic, and communities, geographic, served by the station, and that station policies and procedures for making programming decisions and for board evaluation are working in a fair, collaborative, and respectful manner to provide quality programming. So with that as my guide, I don't feel like this is micromanaging. I feel like it's trying to keep a foot in the door so that the community can actually enter into the conversation about what constitutes the kind of programming that we need. That shouldn't be one person's decision to make for everyone. That's supposed to be a conversation. This is a living community of listeners, and it's supposed to be a two-way conversation. So let me clarify. I'm not asking for the CAB to be involved in deciding what programs go on the air. I am asking for the CAB, and actually what I should be asking for is a program council, but this board has kind of stonewalled that. But as a way to establish the criteria of what shall be approved, to give guidance to the program director, to give guidance to the general manager. And that should be an ongoing conversation, no. And Margie's not asking, as far as I understand, her motion, which I support, is about establishing the policies, not about telling them what to decide, but to give them guidance about right and wrong so we can avoid needless division within our listening community about who gets privilege and who has priority and whose politics are being promoted and whose are not. If we are above board and transparent and clear, we build consensus and we can build a community that we're proud of, that people want to join, not only because it's radio, but because it's principled and because they have a way to input to it. And I have to say, when you're talking, I mean, not many of us around this board are qualified to even talk about what young people want.
Yeah, really.
And yet we're saying that we desperately need younger listeners. So we've got to bring them into the conversation, and they shouldn't have to have be paid on paid staff or in management to be able to do that. So please don't intentionally misunderstand this amendment. The amendment is asking that we have an open conversation to establish criteria for making decisions about programming.
Ramses, it's your time. Also, he wanted to note that there's some fruit over there if people want to throw anything.
Fruit and coffee, but before you throw the coffee, let it cool down. Okay. Thanks. No tomatoes this time. Yay. All right, so just a few things I want to note. I do appreciate the advocacy that Frank does here. I also recognize that, what Brian said about that, because there's always, we should always be looking out for kind of like a fine line between, advocacy and things that you might want to promote for yourself and so on. And that's all correct, too. But I think the larger issue here is that I'm finding voices inside of the LSB and outside the LSB, but still in the KPFA community that want to advocate for things, want to see some changes and so on. But I feel like I'm not finding either those changes happening or not sure where to go with it. I ask people to come to LSB and tell us in public comment at least, or through one of us, what their concerns are, what ideas they have. Some do, many don't, right? And I think that whole picture, that whole big question of how do we do that is largely the role of this board, right? And to go into the back to the issues with the general manager report is, I'd like to see him be here, right? I'd like to see him be here, and if he can't be here on the Saturday that we're meeting, then we got to make a time to be able to meet with him some way, somewhere else, right? It troubles me a little bit that there's this kind of budget, quote, proposal, for a large amount of money, which I can tell, made a lot of people here anxious. I would be too, right? Because the question is, well, is this about to just happen on us? Why not? Do I have questions? I feel like at least I would like to hear from the GM, in person. This is my big idea. This is my big proposal, right? So I really want to see that moving forward. But one other thing I'm kind of noticing, and I hope this doesn't happen, is what I feel happened with the last two GMs. Is there's a sort of separation with the LSB for numerous reasons, right? And then there's sort of like somewhat of antagonism or like questioning each other, right? That I think it's a bad dynamic and just unhealthy overall for the station, right? So it's for us to figure out how to make that happen. I do think we have the ability to try to hold our GMs and our management accountable, right? But we also have to balance it with letting them have the right to make the decisions that they feel they need to make, right? That's what we hire them for. So striking that balance to me is as important as other things we're questioning here and wondering about. So I just want the LSB to keep that in mind, because that's what we got to find.
Okay.
And now, Janet, you can conclude the stack, and then we will take a vote on the amendment, and it will be read. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, so it's true that this body is supposed to do an annual evaluation of the station's general manager. But this body does have some bylaws-defined role in programming, as Andrea read from the bylaws. So it is not inappropriate for this body to make recommendations to the management. There's nothing wrong with our doing that, and that's all we're doing. We're not saying this has to happen or whatever. So I agree on that. I was unhappy that the general manager was not here. The general manager is a board member, an LSB member, ex officio, and actually his name should be part of the roll call. That aside, I digress. So I support all the amendments, the two amendments, and Margie's motion.
Okay, now we're going to vote. So, Margie, can you read the amendment that we're voting on first?
Yes. The amendment is, the general manager will also provide criteria for evaluating these requests so that they can be widely discussed and understood and include input from the CAB.
Okay, that is it. We're going to vote now.
Okay. I'm going to call the...
What's the question? Yeah, you have to use the microphone.
The question is, does the motion recommend to the GM and the program director, or does it say that they will do it?
It says they will do it. Okay. All right. All those in favor... We're going to do a roll call. Okay, go ahead.
Mal Bernstein.
No.
Brian Edwards Tiegert.
No.
David Gans.
No.
Cynthia Johnson.
Yes.
Janet Coburn.
Yes.
Jack Kurzweil.
No.
David Landau.
Yes.
Sam Sarah Morgan.
Yes.
Andre Pritchett.
Yes.
Louis Sawyer. Okay. Frank Sterling.
Yes.
Kate Tanaka.
Yes.
Ramses Tan Nichols.
Yes.
Carol, I'll call on you in the end. Barbara Wipperman. Margie Wilkinson, I vote no. Okay, so.
Wayne Lewis, I think.
So that's 8 yes and 6 no. Do you wish to vote?
It doesn't change the vote. So.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Okay, so now we've got to vote on the main motion as amended, since there was no objection to the amendment. So could you read that, Margie?
Sure.
With the microphone.
Sorry. Move that the LSB requests that KPFA management prepare a written procedure for requests for special programming to include expedited procedures for unusual circumstances, and that the GM and or PD will also provide criteria for evaluating these requests so that they can be widely discussed and understood and include input from the CAB.
Question.
I may have misunderstood
the proposal, but is it that each programming request should get input from the CAB, or that the policies should get input from the CAB? I apologize. Do you want to clarify the language before we finally vote on it?
Maybe we should clarify.
If you're going to speak, be called on, and also then use microphones.
So that
Andrea.
My bad. I was thinking relative to Margie's motion, which was about the creation of policies. So my bad. It says you're right. I see why you're confused. Let's fix it.
So okay.
I have a proposal so that the criteria can be widely discussed and understood.
Got to use a microphone.
For creating policies, my bad. That the GMNRPD will also provide criteria. What that means is that the criteria is actually like the policy.
Let's get the wording, yeah. Okay.
So what is their criteria for evaluating requests? Yeah. Although that actually was kind of what I said.
Yeah.
But that's a policy.
Right.
You've got to use the microphone. Brian?
Can I propose a 2-minute recess for wordsmithing?
Yes. Thank you.